This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to their chosen ones who cry to them day and night? Will they delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God's persistent word. The star of Jesus' parable this morning is a widow. A widow, that means that she has lost someone who was quite dear, someone who was close, someone who was her companion, her family, her support. And death took them, and now she was alone, a widow. And it wasn't enough that she had already lost her spouse, but now there was someone opposing her, someone accusing her. We don't know what the accusations were. That's not the important part of this parable. But we know that she had an opponent. We know that though she had already been experiencing deep grief, though she was already at the very margins of society, cast aside and tried to be forgotten about, that there was someone yet who had not forgotten her and was accusing her, was opposing her, was making her life harder than it already was and than it ever should have been. And not only that, but that there was a judge, that her recourse for dealing with this opponent, for dealing with this untruth, this injustice being perpetrated against her, the only recourse she had was in this judge, who wouldn't even hear the case, kept refusing her, kept pushing her aside, kept marginalizing her, saying no. And only through great persistence did that judge change their mind and finally grant her justice. Not that the judge was changed in any way. Jesus makes sure to let us know that there is no point in this story where the judge undergoes the redemption arc and becomes a good character. It is, Jesus outlines his inner thoughts, letting us know that this judge is still horrible even at the end of the story, but finally does what's right. And the widow receives at least a little bit of justice. So, this past week, I was reminded of 10 years ago. Maybe some of you were too. Back in 2012, my wife and I had just been ordained, just began our ministry in a little town in western North Dakota called Stanley. And as the fall came in that year, the news in our little town was rocked by a horrific shooting in Newtown. It was November, and it wasn't Newtown, Connecticut yet. This was Newtown, North Dakota, just a town about half an hour south of us, the closest neighboring town. Someone had done something horrific. Come in to the home where a grandmother was watching four of her grandchildren and shot and killed that grandmother and three of those grandchildren. The fourth survived by playing dead under the bodies of his siblings. A grandfather was out hunting, and another sibling was over at a friend's house. And our congregation was able to use a resource that we had to provide a home for this family after this horrific event. They moved into our empty parsonage at church, and the community began a ministry of caring for them in a time of desperate loss. It was less than a month later that Newtown was again in the news, but this time not Newtown, North Dakota, this time Newtown, Connecticut. And the horror there was even worse. So many lost family members. So many lost spouses. So many parents crying out for their children. It was impossible to take in, to know what to do. And maybe you felt that impossibility then and been reminded of it every time this stuff happens. Because it seems like it just keeps happening. Now, with children of my own, I feel it in a way that's different than I felt it 10 years ago. Feel it in this sort of anxious and frustrating and enraged way. Like there is this suffocating part of our society that wants to break us down and that I just can't understand and just can't live with. And I wonder, how could people do this? But as if that wasn't enough, just the horror of the event, within days and hours of that Newtown, Connecticut shooting at Sandy Hook, people began spreading conspiracy theories that that event was not real, that it was a false flag, that the parents and the children that were mourning were actors. Alex Jones spouting many of those on his show and making a lot of money and getting a lot of attention from the whole deal. Those lies about what had happened had immediate and prolonged impact. These were lies about people that were in the midst of deep grief, deeper than anyone could possibly know, and yet here, those widows, those parents that are mourning their children are now confronted with an opponent, an accuser, like an accuser who is armed with lies, much like the widow in Jesus' parable. And that these lies had immediate and prolonged impact on the lives of those that they were about. Memorial pages to raise funds for funerals had to be taken down. To remember their lost children had to be removed from the internet because they were being inundated with trolls. People were being chased out in public, accused of lying. Their grief disrupted. And this week, finally, 10 years later, the courts decided that, yes, this was wrong. And Alex Jones had to pay nearly $1 billion he's been tasked with paying to the families that he has hurt. This week, those families got a little bit of justice against their accuser. And yet, justice against the accuser and justice in the grand scheme of things is not quite the same. The persistent widow prevails against her opponent, prevails upon the judge here. And so did these survivors of this unspeakable violence in Newtown. But there is still no justice. The judge remains corrupt in the parable, and the world remains broken. There is no justice because justice means getting what you deserve. Justice would be children being able to grow up, to be their full selves, and discover all the beauty and wonder and magnificence that that is. Justice would be children feeling safe and being safe in their schools. Justice would be parents who do not have to mourn their children's deaths or wonder, how can God be like this and let this be? How can God let this happen? These lies to be laid out. How can God let this injustice against widows continue? And how can God let the man in power have no heart or soul? It's big questions that are brought up in all of this. Well, this parable is laid out to show us a little bit of what God is like. Not through a one-to-one relationship, but Jesus brings up this parable to show us some contrast. Jesus tells us a story about a widow and an unjust judge. The judge who is unhearing, who doesn't want to listen to the cries of the widow, who would rather ignore them, push them away because, well, they're just too difficult to deal with, too inconvenient. But God is a listening God who hears us when we cry out. The judge is unjust, but God is righteous and merciful, caring for those who are called. The judge's soul is shriveled, and even when they do the right thing, it's only done begrudgingly. But God is love, and is working to do the right thing even before we ask. God's action in the world is love. The thing about love is that it's never imposed. It's always offered. Love is never imposed. For if it were forced, it wouldn't be love. But it is always offered, and God offers that love again and again and again and again. The word of God is love. The book of Jeremiah says that the word of God is a hammer that pounds and breaks rocks, and that hammer is love. Over time, breaking hearts that are made of stone and forming hearts that care. God's word is a hammer, and that hammer is love. Hebrews says that the word of God is a double-edged sword, and that double-edged sword is love. Love that cuts through the lies of the world, but love that also cuts deeply inside. That breaks us open and makes us vulnerable to the needs of others. The word of God is a double-edged sword. That sword is love. Isaiah says that the word of God is rain. Rain that goes out and that nourishes the land. And that rain of God is love. Rain that nourishes and makes things grow, that provides what is needed. And Jesus says that the word of God is a seed, that the sower sows widely on the ground, and that seed is love, planted not with its growth assured, sometimes plucked up by the needs of the world, sometimes choked out by other concerns, sometimes growing up fast but then withering because it has not been planted deep, but sometimes finding fertile soil and fertile souls and growing deep and profound and providing fruit. God's word is a seed, and that seed is love, and the fruit that that seed bears is more love. God's action in the world is love. It's love that weeps with the widow, with the widower, with those family members who have just experienced unspeakable things, mothers and fathers whose children are no more. Even in the darkest pits of pain and suffering, the darkest things that human sin can manufacture and wreak upon the earth, God's word goes there to listen, to hear, and to love. God's word is persistent, and it will not be swayed by any dark act of humanity. It will not stop, even though walls be built around it or lies be spread over it. It will persist and it will break through because God's word is persistent. And it will not stop. A few weeks ago, we had Jesus' parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And that parable tells us that while there might not be justice on earth, while justice might be something beyond our ability to grant in situations like these we've been discussing, that there will yet be justice in God's holy realm. Justice where the poor are fed, where the lonely are comforted, where children are able to be their full selves, where everyone is able to feel safe and alive and happy, and where mourning and crying and death and tears are no more. But when the Son of Man comes to usher in that kingdom, will he find faith on earth? This is an interesting way for Jesus to wrap up this parable. It's just sort of a twist. But it asks us, the God's persistent love that is given, that is shared, that is heard, that is offered, will we receive it? Will we receive that love that goes before the Lord and prepares the way for this glorious reign? Will we trust the word that announces it and teaches us its ways? Will we yet let that love enter our hearts and transform us with its persistent work? Will you act on it? God will never impose this love upon you. God will not make you respond. God will not force you to do the things that God teaches, to care for the outcast, to work for justice. God will never impose it, but will always persist in offering this love. Amen.